Revolution.
Does belief in creationism make you racist? Welcome to Truth Revolution. This is where faith and reason meet. I'm Pastor Dave. That's Pastor Jeff. We are from Revolution Church in Salina, Kansas.
Glad you're listening to the show today, either on the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube. Thank you so much. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit like on there. Share it with your friends. We always appreciate that when you share this stuff.
Absolutely.
This is a weird question. Is creationism racist? I saw this headline that a friend of ours, Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe, posted on Facebook. And I was like, what is he talking about? So, of course, we had to have him on here to talk about this.
Right.
So, welcome today. It's Fuzz Rana, but tell us who he is.
Well, he's a biochemist, and he's a vice president of research and apologetics at Reasons to Believe. He holds a PhD in chemistry with an emphasis in biochemistry from Ohio University. He's the author of several groundbreaking books, including Humans 2.0, Thinking About Evolution, and Fit for a Purpose. And has spoken at hundreds of universities, churches, and conferences worldwide. And he's been a regular on Truth Revolution.
Glad you're here. Welcome, Fuzz.
Hey, Jeff and Dave, thanks for having me again. It's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad you're here. So how'd you come across this article? And just give us your initial impression when you first saw it.
Yeah, well, this claim was based on an op-ed piece published by Scientific American that basically makes the case that if you deny evolution, and that is if you promote a creationist perspective, that's a form of white supremacy. And, you know, my first reaction was, you've got to be kidding. And then it seemed to me that this is obviously part of the cancel culture that we live in today, where by trying to disparage other people, you silence them. And it seemed to me like that was a bit of a kind of a cancel culture maneuver, because the worst thing you can be in today's world, rightfully so, is someone that is racist. And so by pinning that label on creationists, I think that was really the tactic, was to try to silence creationism.
Yeah. So let's just get into some of the details. We don't like strawman arguments. We don't like, you know, setting people up just to knock them down. We want to know what their actual reaction was, because, you know, we would say at Revolution Church that while we agree that species change over time, we don't think that one species changes to another species. Right. Fuzz, would you kind of give us the Reasons to Believe concept of evolution?
Yeah, and my concept would be very similar to yours, and that is that, look, there's certain aspects of the evolutionary paradigm that I think are well established, well evidenced. You know, microevolution, speciation, these are familiar examples that people are aware of from textbooks, like the peppered moth changing wing color, or the Galapagos finches arising from a single finch species. You know, obviously microorganisms evolve. We're in the midst of a SARS, you know, 2 coronavirus pandemic because of that type of, you know, evolution. But, you know, to your point, I really question if evolution has bona fide creation potential. That is, I don't see evolution having the ability to give rise to totally different groups from starting with an initial group, nor do I think evolution can explain the origin of the first cells on Earth. And my concerns are primarily scientific, where there are biblical and theological and philosophical concerns, to be certain, but my primary objection is scientific.
Yeah, great. And, you know, you noted, just to be clear on this stuff, you noted that there are some scientific and biblical, or there, your primary reason you reject it is scientific. You do have philosophical and biblical reasons to have objections to that. Just out of curiosity, why do you think the line tends to be drawn between non-theist and theists, like Christians and whatnot, Muslims? Like, why do the theists tend to reject evolution and the non-theists tend to accept evolution?
Yeah, well, I it's essentially centered around the fact that you've got to explain where life comes from. And if there really are two, you know, in a broad sense, two options you have. Either there is a creator who employed some means to bring about the origin of life and then to orchestrate life's history, whether that's through direct intervention or through, you know, some type of guided evolutionary process, or the explanation is strictly materialistic. But if you embrace a materialistic approach, there's really only one option you have, and that is life must have emerged through some type of evolutionary mechanism. So that's, you know, probably why you see that division, is because people that are theists have options available, you know, where you ultimately are seeing a creator involved. But if you're a non-theist, it's mechanism and mechanism alone.
Yep, that absolutely makes sense. So let's get into this. Why is this lady, Allison Hooper, saying that denying evolution is a form of white supremacy? What is her base claim?
Yeah, you know, when I read an article like that, I try to make sure I can find places of common ground. And the first couple of paragraphs in the article, I was like, wow, I find myself agreeing with the author here that, you know, I'm, you know, opposed to racism, and there's racial injustice in the world, and there are things we can do, even small things we can do, like celebrating Juneteenth as a national holiday, as a way just to show that we, you know, want to move beyond our tragic, you know, racist past as a nation, right? And move beyond racial discrimination. And I think she makes a really strong point that what we have discovered, scientifically speaking, is that all humanity originates recently from a very small population, and that the very first humans likely were people that looked very much like African people groups today, and that whether we like it or not, we all are African underneath our skin, and that we all come from, you know, this original population, where our regional differences or our racial differences are largely superficial. So this is a really powerful point, you know, that there is no scientific basis for racism. So, you know, I'm in, you know, strong agreement, you know, with that as a Christian and as a scientist. You know, that's consistent with the view we hold at Reasons to Believe. In fact, it's consistent with the view of Answers in Genesis and the Institute of Creation Research and, you know, the Creation Ministries International. So this is a view that's, you know, would resonate with, I think, all the creationist organizations that I know.
Yeah.
What's amazing to me was the transition saying that the blame then for, you know, racial discrimination is a rejection of evolution. She suddenly places the whole problem of white supremacy at the feet of creationists. That was a remarkable maneuver on her part, I thought.
Yeah. Now, just for any of our listeners who may not be totally familiar with the organizations that you listed, so Reasons to Believe, you guys would be kind of middle of the road where you gave your definition of evolution. So I'll just summarize it by saying you don't believe in macroevolution, but you do think the Earth is old. Yes. Then you listed some of the creationist organizations like Kent Ham's Answers in Genesis, who'd be on the very conservative side, right? The Earth is only 6, maybe 10,000 years old. They don't agree with macroevolution either. And then even some of the ones on a little bit more on the liberal side who would say that God may even used evolution. So all of the, and I forget the name of that one off the top of my head.
But maybe Biologos.
Yes, Biologos. That's right. So, right. All of those Christian organizations would agree, you're saying, with her first sentence of her second paragraph, the global scientific community overwhelmingly accepts that all living humans are of African descent, and that we are all descended genetically and also culturally from dark-skinned ancestors. All the Christian organizations that we've talked about here, or that I can even think of, would agree with that. Is that what you're saying?
I think that is a safe statement to make.
Okay, great. And then go ahead. So then she starts talking differently. She says, I want to unmask the lie that evolution denial is about religion, and recognize that at its core, it's a form of white supremacy that perpetuates segregation and violence against black bodies. That's a shocking statement. Like, she makes this transition from, hey, this is where we originated, to boom, you all perpetuate violence against black bodies. Like, wow, how'd she make that leap? What are her claims? Where is this coming from?
Yeah, well, you know, and to be fair, you know, whether we like it or not, you know, our history as evangelicals, particularly when we look at evangelicalism in the South, has been tainted by racism. You know, is this association between, you know, evangelicals and racism. And it goes back to the mid-1800s. And what you might call slavery apologetics, where there were Christians who were pro-slavery. And, you know, when you look at the Southern Baptist convention, for example, the largest, you know, evangelical denomination, it was a pro-slavery denomination. And people were misusing scriptural passages like the curse of Ham being dark skin as a way to justify slavery. I was talking with a professor at a Southern Baptist seminary, and he was saying that there were even people in the Southern Baptist denomination who were making the assertion that African people were subhuman and that they were actually among the animals that were taken on the ark. Now, there's no biblical basis for any of this, but this was, you know, part of the slavery apologetics that was going on. Mm-hmm. And this idea persists into the 20th century, and there are still pockets within evangelicalism that would hold to these kind of views. So she's not completely off of her element, you know, by saying that there is this association. But to be clear, you know, there were in Civil War times many Christians who were abolitionists who took a stand against this type of really, you know, bad biblical hermeneutics, and, you know, would have advanced an agenda that I think most people today would agree with, would resonate with. And as we said, you know, today creationist organizations are very much making the case that all human beings are, you know, united in Adam, and making the case that there is no basis for racism based on what Scripture teaches about human origin. So, you know, Christianity has moved well beyond, I think, this really tragic window of time in our history.
Yeah. And just to be clear for anyone listening who might go to our church, just for you to know, Brethren in Christ is actually, some historians think, the oldest existing denomination in the United States that began in the United States. There were other ones who were older, but they've ceased to exist. Right. And there are other ones who are older that began elsewhere. But ours is the oldest one that began in the United States that continues to exist. And our denomination was abolitionist from the beginning, never supported that sort of interpretation of Scripture. So we have always, from the beginning, looked at any denomination, it would have been like Southern Baptists, although they didn't exist that long ago, and said, hey, you're wrong here, right? You're wrong here. And so while she may point out that there were some Christians who believed that way, I always would like to point out that the primary drivers of the abolitionist movement were strong Christians. And so we have to take that into account as well. Now, that being said, let's get into some of what else she has to say here. Fuzz?
Yeah, well, you know, and then she also makes a really interesting point that the Ku Klux Klan was one of the very first organizations to actually promote equal time for creation and evolution in the classroom, that it was the first organization to be officially anti-evolutionist. And and again, you know, there were Christians that were members of the KKK and members of the KKK that were Christians.
Yeah.
But again, it's this cause and effect, you know, is not a fair relationship between creationism and white supremacy, but rather it really is an association that's unfortunate. And by the way, the KKK also had some very bizarre ideas that came from social Darwinism, you know, and so they had this amalgam of ideas that were creationist, that this is part of God's order, but then they also were promoting a type of social Darwinism.
Yeah, which I think she even linked to an article by the National Institute for Health and Science. And in there, it talks about the KKK saying, yeah, they promoted, you know, having creationism and evolution both taught. And it says, but ironically, they claimed evolution as the reason for their beliefs.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if you look at the writings of Charles Darwin, like particularly The Descent of Man, you know, there's a long history of racism in evolutionary anthropology. And of course, evolutionary anthropology begins with Darwin and The Descent of Man. And he viewed non-white people groups as savages, and that was a pejorative term. He thought that they were inferior in terms of their intellect, their morality, in terms of their self-command. Mm-hmm. He saw white Europeans as being the superior race. He He saw the different racial groups as coming from a single source. So he held to what's called monogenesis. But he saw that the different groups were at different stages in evolutionary development, where, again, white Europeans were the most advanced. And on top of that, he even promoted British imperialism, and the justification was that Europeans and the British were the most evolutionary advanced. And if it's survival of the fittest, if it's natural selection, then imperialism is a natural part of the order of things. But yet Darwin himself was anti-slavery. He was an ardent abolitionist. And so it all goes to show that it's not so much a particular worldview that necessarily entails white supremacy. The issue is white supremacy, and that people are co-opting science and they're co-opting the moral authority from religion to try to justify white supremacy and racial discrimination. So mm-hmm. I think Alison Hooper really does a disservice by I think simplifying that relationship between, you know, Christianity and creationism and white supremacy, and completely overlooks the racism that was very much part of molecular or about evolutionary anthropology.
Yeah, people will always take what they feel or believe, and they will use religion or they will use science to try to promote what they believe, whatever avenue they can. So if you're a racist, you're going to try to use your religion or science that you know to back that up. People tend to believe one way right now about COVID or another way, right. And they love to quote the articles or the Bible verses that back up what they feel.
Yeah.
You can be all over the map. And so,
well, the crazy thing is that, we've gotten to a point today where everybody just wants to whitewash everything. You know what I mean? And you can really, it gets frustrating. Because we've spent so many years trying to say, well, you can't whitewash everything. You can't whitewash everything. And now over the last year, it's like, well, everything's whitewashed. You know what I mean?
What do you mean whitewashed?
As far as just with a broad brushstroke to say, well, that person is this way, so they must be that.
Oh, okay.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Mm-hmm. And I guess whitewash is a...
I thought you were talking about erasing stuff.
No. I'm not broad stroked, okay. You know, broad brushed.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like to paint people with...
Broad strokes
instead yeah. of hear their nuanced ideas.
Right. Yeah. And I'd like to think that we as people, every last one of us, we are all nuanced mm-hmm. and not, it's like we may go to the same church, but you and I are obviously not the same.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
I mean, look at us.
What? Anyway, it's true. It's true. Even this lady, Alison Hooper, right? Like she is making some of these claims and it'd be easy for us to make some assumptions about who she is, but we don't necessarily want to do that.
Right.
Because they've been making assumptions about what Christianity is, and Christianity is not, creationism is not what she's trying to claim it is based on a few small pieces of history that most Christians didn't agree with and would deny now. So, Fuzz, you want to keep going on this?
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, to me, the ultimate point is that really, what is the logical entailment of the worldview? And when you really understand the Christian worldview and you understand, you know, the biblical account of human origins, you know, it's very clear that all human beings come from an Adam and an Eve. And because of that, we all are united as human beings. We all have the same origin story, you know, if you will, and that we all are made in God's image and we all have infinite worth and value. And of course, we all are suffering from this condition called sin, which too we trace back to our ancestors, to Adam and Eve, right? And so, you know, but because of that worldview, you know, it really does, or that origin story that really defines the Christian worldview, it really puts Christianity in a position where, again, we would see racial discrimination as being unjust and unsubstantiated from, you know, the biblical account. And of course, as Christians, we also see that the ultimate remedy to racial discrimination is found in the gospel itself, where the gospel essentially makes all of us the same in Christ. that not only are we unified in Adam, but we're unified in Christ. And there is no, you know, free or slave or Jew or Greek. We all are one. So Christianity is really something we should want to be true if we are concerned about racial discrimination.
Absolutely.
And I would argue that when you do that worldview analysis for evolutionary anthropology, it's not that straightforward. I think you could make a reasoned argument that because human beings appear to be different, and if you attribute that to evolutionary processes and natural selection, that it's not unreasonable to think that maybe there are some very real differences between human beings. In fact, you know, what a view that shaped anthropology from probably the 1930s into the 1990s or in early 2000s was a view called multi-regionalism. And this is an idea that said humanity originated independently in different parts of the world, in Africa and Europe and Asia, Australia, and all evolved from a primitive form to a modern form independently in these different parts of the world. And that because of these different evolutionary histories and trajectories, the racial differences were reflecting 2 million years of evolution and fundamental differences. And you had people like Carlton Coon classifying the different groups around the world, you know, using the system that we use today, or that has been used at least in recent history. But he also went as far as to even rank the different racial groups in terms of superiority. Jeez. So this is, you know, this is something that flows out of Darwin's theory, right? This is a logical entailment of you know, Darwin's theory. And and Darwin's ideas gave rise to social Darwinism. And, you know, William Jennings Bryan at the Scopes trial was staunchly opposed to teaching evolution, not because he had a fundamental scientific issue. He was concerned about social Darwinism and the fact that evolution seemed to justify social Darwinism. He was a progressive and was concerned about what that would mean to society. So now, but to be fair, most anthropologists today would reject the white supremacy of their past, and would you point to discoveries like Allison Hopper is doing about, you know, again, we all come from a recent population that was dark skinned, and so we want to, you know, give people the benefit of the doubt. We don't want their past or the past that they have inherited to somehow shape how we view them or use that as a means to label the perspectives that they hold to today, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes a whole lot of sense. So, I mean, in essence, there is just as much or more racism that has come out of Darwinist views than ever from creationist views. But we don't want to hold people to that standard of this is what you believed in the past, so therefore your belief is true or false or good or bad, which just kind of leads me to the whole point of, like, there's consequences to what we believe, but the ultimate question is what's true? You know, I mean, is evolution true or is it not true? Did Jesus really rise from the dead or did he not rise from the dead? Is it true that race, that, you know, viewing races differently is a good thing or bad thing? Like, we want to do what's true and good, regardless of, you know, what we think is nice or not nice. And certainly we think racism is evil. We want to be able to eliminate that. We believe that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, that lived, died, and rose from the dead. So that's true. We need to dig into the science. People need to dig into the science and see whether evolution, as presented through Darwinism or materialistic viewpoint, is accurate. You know, it's interesting. She says in her last paragraph, embracing humanity's dark-skinned ancestors with love and respect is key to changing our relationship to the past and to creating racial equity in the present. Now, that's a good statement. I mean,
yeah, it's a beautiful statement, and I love it. And it's something that we can all lock arms over. And so, to me, instead of trying to find places where creationism and evolutionary ideas actually harmonize with each other, actually, you know, connect with one another, instead of trying to build bridges with the idea that, hey, the overarching objective is to live a world in a world that is truly just, you know, regardless of our worldview, where can we find common ground? Where can we find points of agreement? Yeah. And to me, the exciting thing is that the study of human origins is a place where we begin to see, you know, harmony between the biblical account and the scientific account, you know, where, you know, both accounts would say that humanity began recently, right? And both, you know, the biblical account is humanity began, you know, in the Garden of Eden, which would include East Africa. In Genesis 3, it makes mention, or check that, Genesis 2, it makes mention of the Garden of Eden, including the land of Cush, which is part of Ethiopia. Well, scientifically, this is where it looks like humanity originates, right? You know, there's this idea of mitochondrial Eve and Y chromosomal Adam coming out of anthropology. And of course, there's the idea of the biblical Adam and Eve. And so, you know, these are places where, you know, the scientific data and the biblical account are really beginning to resonate. And out of that place of common agreement, I think we can all affirm, again, that we all are the same underneath our skin, that the differences among us biologically are superficial, but that we fundamentally are the same as human beings. This is the biblical message. This is the message that's, you know, coming out of anthropology. So why not find common ground as opposed to trying to divide, you know, through straw man presentations of creationist views?
That's right. I mean, we were created in the image of God, the Imago Dei. Every single human on earth has come from Adam and Eve. And no one that I know of teaches that Adam and Eve were just white people. No. and you know, ended up from there. I mean, we don't really know. I mean, do we know scientifically exactly what their skin color was? Or do we just say probably dark skinned?
I mean, it's ultimately an inference. Okay, you know, because African people are demonstrably the oldest people groups on the earth, and because their genetic variability subsumes the genetic variability of everybody else in the world, the assumption is that they were, you know, the very first people. And we just are making the assumption that they would have looked very much like African people groups today. Mm-hmm. And likewise, what Adam and Eve would have looked like is at best an inference from Scripture. Well, they came from near the equator, you know, and it's reasonable to think that they would have been people of color, right?
Yeah.
Just because of where they would have originated. But the Bible doesn't tell us anything about Adam and Eve's physical appearance, right? Or the physical appearance of the first humans. It doesn't even tell us how racial diversity emerged. Mm-hmm. All we have is the idea that humanity was scattered after the Tower of Babel happened, and that the languages were confounded. And we might infer that maybe that was the point where racial diversity emerged. But the Bible isn't that specific.
Yeah.
You know, so you can't, you know, anybody that was interpreting Scripture otherwise, you know, as part of the apologetics to promote slavery was, you know, really, you know, providing specificity to the text that wasn't there.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I remember we did a truth shot, which are these little 60-second segments where we talked about Adam and Eve and what their skin color was. And we said, for all we know, it was an interracial marriage because All the necessary components for all the races that currently exist existed within Adam and Eve.
Right.
So we don't know. But hey, Fuzz, this has been great information. If they want to know more about your guys' view on evolution or race or anything like that, what books or articles might you recommend?
Yeah, well, one thing that people can do is go to our website, reasons.org.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then also, Thinking About Evolution and Who Is Adam are great resources.
Who Is Adam, which is a great book. Yep. And we've talked with you about that one before. Everything else you mentioned, just go to reasons.org. You can actually find a lot of those on Amazon too, if you want to find any of that stuff. We'll link to reasons.org and grab those resources there. Again, this is Dr. Fuzz Arana from Reasons to Believe. You've been listening to Truth Revolution. You can find our website at truthrevolution.tv. It's truthrevolution.tv. Go ahead and like and share this video. And come on out to Revolution Church. You can find us live online at live.revo.church or come out to our website, revo.church. What's that website, Dave?
Revo.church.
Thanks a lot.